Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. To be a Christian is to be a disciple and co-worker of Jesus. Being a Christian means that you would live your life, your whole life, as his student. So many people who claim to be Christian simply do not get this. I know they don't get it because of the way they live their life. They live their life as though they have nothing new to learn about God and about how they should live in response to him. Often these people are quite interested in learning about God, they just don't want to learn from God. Their habits, the rhythm of their days, and their true priorities, shown by what they spend their time doing and how they spend their money, shows not the slightest indication that they wish to learn from Jesus about how they should live. Put rather bluntly, they are not disciples. You know, two of my adult children are teachers, and one of them is married to a teacher, and another of my children has a diploma of early childhood, and I've been on school boards and I've spoken regularly to groups of teachers, so I've spent a bit of time talking with teachers. You know that for a child to learn well, there needs to be some very basic conditions in place as a bare minimum. Without these conditions, learning will be somewhat limited or in reality non-existent. For example, there needs to be proximity to a teacher, some connection, some means of communication between the teacher and the student. A common language really helps. The ability to be heard is also important. If you were trying to teach 1,000 students without a PA, it would be increasingly difficult to effectively teach them. Equipment of various kinds is also essential. I find mental arithmetic quite difficult, even very slightly complex calculations. I mean, if I have to do it all in my head, I quickly lose my place. Say, an equation like v squared equals u squared plus 2as, the third equation of motion without the time component. I find that hard to work out in my head. You have to remember the velocity data, initial and then final, and the distance travelled, and then you've got to put that into the equation, and then you've got to work out the square, etc. But if I have a writing implement and something to write on, I can break it down into little components, work them out, and then I can store that thought and use it a couple of minutes later after I've worked out some other things. And we could go on and find other examples, couldn't we? If we're going to be lifelong learners from Jesus about how we should live as his people, there are some absolutely essential elements, conditions, that we need to be firstly aware of, and then secondly, we must make them priorities in the rhythm of our life. Jesus knows what we need, and he knows that we learn best when we're spoken to. It's so much better than, say, being hit or being scared or being deprived. Just speaking, communicating with someone is a really good way to teach them. We all know that, and Jesus knows that. I would suggest to you that he invented the idea. Jesus speaks to us primarily and most clearly through his word, the Bible, through our thoughts. Your life in Christ is lived almost entirely in your mind, in your thoughts. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12, just after he urged us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God, immediately then tells us how that is lived out. It is lived out initially in our mind. We are no longer to conform any longer to the pattern of the world, he says, but rather we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are made holy through the renewing of our mind. Our mind, what we choose to think about, is the source of all of our actions. Our bodies put into motion our thoughts. Jesus communicates to us through our thoughts, and that is why we need to learn to hear his voice both in his word and in our minds. Have a look at Paul's words in Ephesians 4. This passage clearly encapsulates what I'm speaking about. In verse 20, he says, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds." And once again, the attitude of our mind has been changed, "and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And then he says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. If you don't spend time in his word, and if you don't provide space for silence and solitude, you're not providing the essential environment whereby you gain proximity to the Master and whereby you allow yourself to hear his voice. As I said at the start, effective teaching required some basic conditions. You cannot learn from Jesus effectively without regular, sustained, focused attention on the Word of God. And you cannot learn from Jesus if you don't shut up. Yes, if you don't stop talking and stop others from talking to you by finding solitude and silence. And the equipment, remember that the pencil and paper, is our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ who call us back to God and who challenge and inspire us. We see this regularly in the gospel accounts as Jesus taught his disciples in the flesh. Jesus is the ultimate gentleman. He won't generally interrupt those who don't want to hear his voice. He will not push himself on us. Generally, he gives us what we want. If we would rather hear what your profusion of casual friends might have to say to you on Facebook than what Jesus might whisper in your ear, then that's what you'll get. But if, on the other hand, you decide to make learning from Jesus a priority, I guarantee he will be present to you and you will find your life changing. You will find the bitterness, rage, and anger of your internal dialogue, that's where your real self lives, dissipating, just as Paul said it would. And you'll find that kindness, compassion, and forgiveness will gradually take their place, just as Jesus said they would. So to quickly summarize all of that, we learn from Jesus' Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside us, helping us one little problem at a time by prioritizing two things. Firstly, the Word of God, and secondly, times of silence and solitude, allowing us to hear his still, small voice. Amen.